FM. The time is 6:59. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio coming up next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Apano Jam Space in Portland. Happening 2016 will be an exploratory conversation about how the music scene works in Portland and how artists, professionals, and supporters shape the scene. Panelists include Simon Tam, Jenny Logan, DJ Cliff, and will be moderated by Rebecca Miller. Again, that's Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Apano Jam Space, 8114 Southeast Division Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Pan-African Film Series hosted by the All African People's Revolutionary Party. The film this month is The Fall of Libya, showing Wednesday, February 24th at 6 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Student Union in Room 329. The Fall of Libya is a short documentary of the role of imperialism played violently and illegally overthrowing the democratically elected Libyan government in 2011. Again, that's The Fall of Libya, Wednesday, February 24th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Memorial Student Union in Room 329 at Portland State University, 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. Again, that is 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is M1 from Dead Press.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from The Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you. Bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. News, views, and hip-hop.
Peace and love. This is Azeem. You're listening to Hard Knock Radio. Real radio. From the concrete up. All the way to the sun. Keep shining, y'all. One love.
What's up, folks? This is your girl Femi representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
We didn't cross the borders! Cross us! We didn't cross the borders!
The borders crossed us!
We didn't cross the borders!
And so it's not an issue about jobs, is it? It's a color issue. And we got here in this city, we got in Santa Monica, we got Irish who are undocumented, British, Australians who are undocumented. And obviously, they're not what the concern is. The concern is about the Indians are coming back.
You've been illegal ever since you landed. You moved out the natives and left them stranded. You stole Africans from across the Atlantic. Abandoned whatever you wanted, you grabbed it. You didn't care that the Mexicans had it. You pulled weapons and bagged it. It wasn't democratic. For what you owe, if we added the damage. You can tell that we're illegal since they don't speak Spanish.
When you landed on Plymouth Rock, did you have your papers?
When you was dying from sickness caught, did you ask for favors?
When all you could grow was stricken crops, did you ask your neighbors?
Did they teach you how to survive?
Make sure you had the basics, but not glad the gracious. What you had was hatred. Wanted they land to take it, cause you planned to rape it. Thankless. Would you call a man a racist who would give women and children smallpox and blankets? Then make it like someone else is illegal with a nation of 40 million stolen people. And won't apologize for what you know is evil. If you mention immigrants, then you both are equal. But all of a sudden, if you Mexican, you worse than the others. And it don't matter, they was here when it first was discovered. Now that's more disrespectful than cursing your mother, the land of the free. Unless you
you a person of color, America. You've been illegals ever since you landed. You moved out the natives and left them stranded. You stole Africans from across the Atlantic. Abandoned whatever you wanted to grab it.
The thing that needs to happen is the brown and black need to unite. Straight up, that's it. That's, we need to get together and we need to let them know. Because that's what they do. They divide and conquer and they want us separated. They want us not to be like, get along with each other. But we need to handle that and handle this. We need to stand up to them for real.
The Indians are coming back.
You didn't care that the Mexicans said that you pulled weapons and bagged it. It wasn't democratic. What would you owe if we added the damage? You can tell that we're the illegals because they don't speak Spanish.
We're the people of the corn. Our bloodline's indigenous. Survived 500 years of slavery and ignorance. Stripped from our culture, colonized and made illiterate. Forced to speak Spanish. Said they vanished all the Indians conditioning. But our ancestors wasn't idiots. 26,000 year predictions built pyramids. They hate when we mention it. That's why they won't admit to it. They try to do a crime and get away with no witnesses. Now we're called illegal. Understand what the premise is. Taught history written via white supremacist penmanship. The plan was so intricate. Expand land for slavery. Went to war for Texas. How the Southwest came to be. European borders on our soil sound strange to me. Anahuaca, Arizona, homie, it's the same to me. Spirit of Cuauhtemoc and hot way it stays in me. Don't worry where I walk. Better watch what you say to me.
You've been illegals ever since you landed. You moved out the natives and left them stranded. You stole Africans from across the Atlantic. Abandoned whatever you wanted, you grabbed it.
What's up, everyone? Again, this is Hard Knock Radio, and joining me by phone is a man that needs no introduction. Actually, you know what? He's not even a stranger to the airwaves of Hard Knock Radio. He's a truth teller. I'm talking about the one and the only Jasiri X. Many of you should already be familiar with this man due to his politics, his music, songs like What If the Tea Party Was Black, Occupy, Trayvon Martin, American Workers versus Multi-Billionaires, Real Gangsters, Start a Riot, and my personal favorite, 10 Frisk Commandments. Again, his name is Jasiri X, and once again, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the airwaves of Hard Knock Radio.
Always an honor to be on Hard Knock Radio. Appreciate it.
All right. Now, Jasiri, one thing that we've covered a lot here on the show is the intersections between art and politics. Last night, I was finally able to see the new film about Nina Simone. In the film, she said, "It's an artist's duty to reflect the times in which we live," end quote. Much of your music, if not all, has really been committed to that narrative. And if we take it one step further, I think it would be an accurate assessment to label you an artist and activist combined. Can you describe the particular path you've chosen and why, especially when you're crafting your music and the work that you do beyond being an artist?
Well, I mean, I just think that, we're living in a, very perilous time. I mean, we're living in a time of, upheaval. We're living, I'm based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm in a community that we have the poorest black community in the country. We're being killed by police officers, it seems like, every day, two, three times a day. And so, to me, to begin to, rap about, popping bottles or throwing money in the air, it's just not my reality, and it's not really the reality that I see my community go through. I'll step outside of my door, and I see a community that's suffering, and I see a community that's in need for, for advocacy, for help. And so, my music comes out of my activism. In Pittsburgh, we started an organization called One Hood because we began to use hip-hop as a way to address the violence in our community, but also to advocate for young people in our community, to advocate for victims of police brutality. And so my music came out of that advocacy and really, speaking or helping to amplify stories of young people that I saw, not just in my community, but all over the country that's, suffering as a result of being black and brown in the United States of America. And so to me, those issues are just so much more important than some of what, other people are talking about,
Right. Well, let's stay with this particular point around advocacy. Again, Nina Simone, her quote was, "It's an artist's duty to reflect the times in which we live." A lot of her music at some point became really political and addressed what was happening on the ground, especially connected to the civil rights movement. You've been critical of other artists who have a platform but selfishly have refused to utilize it in a way that could promote social change and awareness, especially in a day and age when most people in show business are in the business of networking and solely making money. They're more concerned with that particular reality than anything else that's connected to what's happening on the ground and folks being in a space of struggle, right? So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to kind of understand you as an artist. You've been very deliberate with the platform and challenging certain folks on the issues of accountability. Maybe if you can speak to that, your particular stance and the role as you see it of an artist, especially today.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look, you know, I see, particularly, you know, you talk about hip-hop artists, it's like, you know, it's the young people in our community that make that artist hot, that really kind of validate that artist to be like these superstars for the whole world. And it's really, you know, the support of, you know, the young people in our communities that propel these artists to have these platforms. And then I feel like to utilize our support and our love and our dollars to get on this platform, and then when we're being killed or we're being harmed or we're being misused, to not take, you know, 10 seconds to tweet something out? I mean, to not say anything in the face of uprisings in Ferguson, uprisings in Baltimore, uprisings in Oakland, California, you know, videotape killings of black people, to me, it's traitorous.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like we as consumers need to remember that. Like, the next time you come out with an album and you want to come to our community and you want to, you know, start tweeting a link and get folks to buy your album, we should say, no, we're not buying your album. We're not supporting you, because when we needed your support, when we needed your voice, when you were doing all those interviews and you had an opportunity to shine a light on these situations, you didn't say anything. And so I feel like we got to be smarter, you know what I'm saying, in terms of how we deal with quote-unquote celebrities. If you're not going to ride for us, then we're not riding for you. And when you come to our community, we should be in a place where we challenge them, you know what I'm saying, as to why didn't you say nothing? You know, why didn't you speak out? More artists are speaking out. And a lot of it has to do, unfortunately, with the fact that we don't control the rap industry. You know, these industries, most the entertainment industry is not controlled by us. It's controlled by old, rich, white men. And so oftentimes we end up doing their bidding and not, you know, what's best for our own community. We do what's best. You know, they looking and saying, I'm going to do what's best for my own pocket. And if that's the stance that you want to take, then, you know, we should call you out on it. You know what I'm saying? We should push you to do more. Like, you know, it's not that I hate these brothers. And I mean, I'm a fan. They're good artists. They're great artists, many of them, you know, brothers and sisters. But, you know, it's a point where it's like, man, how many of us have to get killed for you to finally say something? You're not going to say nothing.
Let me ask you this, Jasir. At what point do you think was the deciding factor or the game changed? Because you mentioned that, you know, the music industry has been controlled by old white men. That's always been the case, right?
True.
But even you had a time where people like James Brown or, you know, other hip-hop artists.
Yeah,
I think early,
like Public Enemy,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
So what was the change? Yeah. What was the moment? You know, because people's always been making money, you know, on the back and talents of black folks, right? So, you know, but you've had people like, you know, Public Enemy or even N.W.A. once upon a time, and they could be in the space where they talk about X, Y, and Z on a negative side, but then they would talk about police terrorism. That kind of doesn't exist today. So my question to you is, at what point do you think was the game changer where that was totally eliminated from music? Because, I mean, that's, you know, when we think about mainstream or major label aspect of being an artist.
I would say it was the consolidation of the labels and then the consolidation of the actual radio station.
Mm.
Where it used to be you had all of these different hip-hop labels, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that spirit, that independent spirit still lives in the Bay. It's one of the few places that it does live, you know what I'm saying? But it used to be various hip-hop labels, and so you were able to have these different experiences. Like, you could love N.W.A. and De La Soul, you know? It was like they were two different things, but they, you know, you were able to have all these different experiences. When it comes down to now, it's like one, two labels. And so it's like, it's very few people get an opportunity to kind of break through. And so now it's like, to break through means that you have to like play this real soft political game in order to break through. And if you begin to talk about some real pertinent things, you might not break through.
Right.
And then the same thing with the radio station. It used to be, you know, every city had like these, you know, independent black radio stations, and we would do it our thing, and they would represent the community's needs, then Clear Channel comes in and takes over, you know what I'm saying? And then it becomes like the, you know, somebody that's not even in your city that don't know anything about the artists in your city are programming all of the music. So you're not even really able to get a feel for what's happening even locally in your city. To me, that's when it began to change. Now, the beautiful thing is now, because of the internet, it's kind of shifting back. And I feel like because of the internet and the way, you know, people are able to digest music, this is why I have a career now, because I don't need to be on the radio. I don't need to, you know, be on BET. I can put a song out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and people can share it and people can support it. And so this is why I think, a plus because of the, you know, the movements that really, I feel like this generation's movements really started with the killing of Oscar Grant and the work that the community in Oakland and the Bay Area did, you know, to not let that go. You know what I'm saying? It's still, you know what I'm saying, representing for Oscar Grant and his family. I feel like that began to create this movement of us going out here, hitting these streets, and really, I feel like as hip-hop artists, they're seeing it. You know what I'm saying? A friend of mine, a brother named Reverend Yearwood, one of the things he would always say to me is, when the movement is strong, the music is strong.
Right.
When the movement is weak, the music is weak. So now, like, the movement in the streets is strong, and it's reverberating to the fact where it's like, now, you know, what you going to do? Are you going to not talk about this and pretend that it ain't existing?
Right, right. That's what I was going to dovetail. I think, you know, you cited the fact that, you know, with the consolidation of media, radio stations, I think that's a key. That's key. But also the lack of a strong movement, because at that particular time, you're talking about the civil rights movement. You're talking about the Black Power movement. There was a lot of stuff that was happening outwardly that was forcing folks as an artist. It was like, no, 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 you gonna have to do this. You know, and we need this right now. You have no choice in the matter. And I think right now with the Black Lives Matter movement and a lot of stuff that's happening on the ground, there's definitely the energy that's forcing artists to be more accountable, you know, and that's why I've been really thankful to the work and everything that you've been doing, because you've created a blueprint for a lot of folks that is possible.
No, I appreciate that. And I mean, you know, I agree. And I feel like, you know, as, you know, every day, you know, more and more injustices is happening, you know, we've got to continue. And I think also, too, because of social media, like, I can tweet Kanye West. I can tweet Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I can, like, actually hit directly to them, you know what I'm saying, and begin to ask these questions, you know what I'm saying? Are you going to say anything about this? Are you going to say, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like that level of the fact that artists kind of can help, be held accountable in a public space, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's also a game changer, and also pushing artists to do more.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm speaking with the one and the only Jasiri X today here on Hard Knock Radio, and he will be in town this weekend at La Pena. There's an event titled Beyond Dreams, celebrating the cultural richness and diversity that immigrants contribute to our communities. This event, again, is happening July 18th at La Pina, located at 3105 Shattuck Ave in Berkeley, California. All ages. It will be moderated by Hard Knock Radio's own Davey D, hosted by Raw G and Ken Folks, Rebel Diaz, Paul Flores, Aisha Fukushima, and Jasiri X will be performing. And part of that panel discussion, briefly, talk a bit about why you decided to participate in this particular conversation, especially around immigration. I know that we began our conversation with one of your songs that looked at immigration, but why was it important for you to be a part of this conversation, especially when we think about the extended scapegoating of immigrants, anti-immigrant sentiment that exists here in the United States?
While immigrants are, you know, responsible for building the very, you know, this collapsing infrastructure of the United States, and then you want to scapegoat them, you know what I'm saying? While, you know, the immigrant community are largely making sure that the agriculture of this United States, you know what I'm saying, that we're able to have these different things. It's just so funny to me, you know what I'm saying, because you have somebody like Donald Trump, you know, I mean, really, to me, using terroristic language, you know, against human beings, while at the same time, you know, a largely immigrant population is building one of your buildings right now in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And so, to me, I'm about unity. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, that you know, part of how we win is that it can't just be about, like, what my issue is. You know what I'm saying? Okay, like, black people going through this, you know, we need your help. you know, to the brown community, we need your help, and then you stand with us. And then when you're going through something, you need solidarity. I'm not there. No, I also have to be in solidarity with these issues as well, which is why I went to, you know, Tucson, Arizona, with the sound strike, why I went to the border, why I went to Alabama and to Arizona and did a song called Who's Illegal in support, you know, of my undocumented brothers and sisters that really, you know, have more claim to a lot of this land than so-called Americans because their ancestors were here first. You know what I'm saying? And so to me, I'm trying to practice true solidarity, true unity, because I feel like as oppressed people, when we all come together, that's when we win. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so that's where I want to be a part of it.
Now, talk a bit about the panel discussion. What can folks expect this coming July 18th, this Saturday?
Well, I mean, you know, folks probably know David. And if you don't know Rebel Diaz, I mean, they come with it. You're talking about, I feel like you got, you know, Aisha. I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? I feel like you have very radical minds. And I love the fact that the panel's titled Beyond Dreams. I think we have to begin to think about a new reality for ourselves. I think what we can't continue to do is try to reform a system that for 400 years has, they don't want us. You know what I'm saying? They don't want us to be a part of it. They want us to be a part of it, but they want us to be all the way at the bottom holding up the rich and wealthy. You know what I'm saying? So I think we need to come together and say, you know, what would a system, you know what I'm saying, that was run by, you know, black and brown folks that coming out of these oppressed circumstances, what would that look like? You know, how would it be different? What would we do? How do we begin to talk about a real revolution, not reform? And so I think these are the different ideas, because you have a lot of radical minds, a lot of radical thoughts. As artists, a lot of times, that's what we do. We creatively think outside of the box. And so I'm hoping that it's a lot of ideas, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I think we can talk about, yeah, it's a lot of stuff that's happening, but, and it's like, how do we prevent it? But also, too, how do we begin to create our own thing?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And instead of demanding something from a system that does not, clearly doesn't want to give us justice, clearly doesn't want to recognize us as black and brown folks, we need to figure out a way where we could come together and begin to build our own thing and protect it and nurture it and grow it. And so that's why we're going beyond dreams. We're going to go into hopefully a new ideas are coming to the table and a new level of creativity is going to be coming to the table. Then we're going to rock.
Absolutely. Now, you know, before I let you go, I definitely want to get your take on a particular couple issues. You're very opinionated, right? So I feel like you're the right person to talk to in this particular moment, and very intellectually on point when it comes to your analysis.
Appreciate it.
Looking at the recent admission as it relates to Bill Cosby drugging women in order to sexually assault them.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about allies and black men and men of color in general, they've been somewhat silent, not somewhat, they've been pretty much silent on this particular issue. I've heard comments like this is distracting from larger issues that are impacting the black community. But when you talk about black women being drugged and raped, that's part of, we're part of that particular
Absolutely.
Community, right? What's your take on Bill Cosby scandal and black America's inability to really address this head on?
Well, I think, you know, as a black man, you know, by the grace of God, I've never had the experience being sexually assaulted. But when you talk about women of color in our community, I believe it's over 50% women of color experience some type of sexual assault. And oftentimes, you know, particularly if that sexual assault occurs in the home, it kind of becomes like the secret. You know what I'm saying? Like this family secret. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, keep that on the low. Don't say anything about it. And so I feel like a lot of times this is how we're conditioned to deal with sexual assault in our community. And then the second part of it, we have this culture where it's like if a woman comes forward and says, I've been sexually assaulted, instead of looking at the perpetrator, you know, we have a culture where we automatically begin to turn and, you know, well, what were you wearing? Well, what were you doing? Well, why were you drinking? And begin to kind of attack a woman who comes forward. And this is one of the reasons why women don't come forward. And then, of course, if you're a woman of color, you get it even worse. I mean, I look and say, if, you know, 40 people, I think it's up to 40, are telling the same story, something's going on.
Right.
And if it's not, if you know, and we just had this conversation in our one hood class, If I'm innocent, I want every media platform to come where I am. And I'm going to stand. I want my accuser to come to me. I want the media to come to me. And I'm going to say, let's have it out because I'm innocent. When you start to say, like, you don't want to comment on a situation, you got your lawyers trying to block stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, what are you hiding from, man? I mean, you weren't, when you could come and, you know, morally chastise the black community as a whole, you wasn't hiding behind nobody.
Real
you
talk.
Had more than enough, right. You know, a gall and intention to come to our community and tell us what was wrong with us, that we need to name our children, you know, names that we can better integrate into this society, and that would be the reason, you know, that's the reason why we ain't successful, you know. So now when the tables are turned and some moral dilemma comes up and it's related to you, now you don't want to get on the mic.
Right.
Now you don't want to answer no questions. Now you want to just do a comedy tour like everything's all good. Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, I feel like, you know, these issues are coming forward. This is a very, very real issue. One, about, you know, abuse in our community,
mm-hmm.
Particularly women of color, is a very, very real issue that we have to deal with. You know, we have to deal with a culture that over-sexualizes women, that encourages men to, like, oh, just get her dropped, and, you know, you could, I mean, this is part of what we're dealing with. And to me, this is one of the reasons why this movement is so important, this movement around black lives, because it's led by black women. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, all around the country, including Pittsburgh, these movements are led by black women. And we have to begin to reckon that. And the reason I began to change the way I thought is because I'm engaging with radical women like Dream Hampton, like Rosa Clemente, who wouldn't allow me
right.
to just deal with the misogyny that I was conditioned to think. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So to me, we have to, this is part of the reason why it's silent, because it's like we don't know what to say. Like, what do we do? How do we deal with this? But we have to begin to handle this, and we have to begin to start with the fact that, you know, this occurs. How do we, you know, I don't want to necessarily say how do we protect women, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In that sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm going to come in and save you.
But it's about how do we check our patriarchy, right?
Exactly.
As men, right?
Right. How do we dismantle this?
Right.
How do we begin to address a very, very real issue? If more than half women of color are being assaulted in our community, that's a state of emergency.
Right.
You know, and it's something that we have to deal with. And you know, it's easy for somebody that doesn't have to deal with it to say, oh, that's distracting us from a bigger issue. Let somebody touch you.
Right.
And let's see how big an issue it is if you get a rape
right.
that you think it is.
Right.
And so, you know, I hope I answered it correctly. You know what I'm saying? This is from my heart. You know, you rape somebody, you at least should go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm Muslim, so we think, and we go even further.
Right.
But that's the least. And yeah. I just feel like, you know, this situation is exposing a very real issue that we have to deal with in our community. And I appreciate the voice, the women's voices, and I hope, you know, as a man, that I can lend my voice, you know what I'm saying, in a constructive, a positive way, along with it, to say, no, you know, these women, voices should be valued and they should be supported, and we should stand by them.
Well, we should definitely be in a space where we begin to address and challenge the culture of rape in our society. And then the other aspect, when you talk about a woman's voice, it's also about a culture that doesn't respect a woman's genius, right? And being
Absolutely.
In a space where she's an equal partner as it relates to black folks, right? When I think about Black Nation, and then especially, I agree with you when you say Black Lives Matter. Someone else that I want to bring up, another woman, just recently, what we've learned, what happened in Texas, Sandra Bland. Many times, the narrative has always been about, you know, black men dealing with police terrorism, but women are also in a space that we're having to deal with that same narrative. And this is just
Absolutely.
Another casualty when we think about police terrorism. We have like maybe 4 more minutes, but maybe if you can talk a bit about that particular instance that we just recently learned of what happened to activist Sandra Bland.
I mean, you know, it's that, to me, it's just the arrogance, the outright arrogance of a police department to try to make it seem like you know, you're going to get pulled over for a traffic ticket and just hang yourself. I mean, there's just, you know, there's no concern for our humanity, you know, and it is, it's not just black men. It is black women. When you talk about Ayanna Jones, you talk about Rekia Boyd, you talk about Kimberly King, who was right. found hanging in a cell outside of St. Louis. Right around the time where, you know, Michael Brown is killed and Von Derrick Myers is killed. But, you know, she's a woman, and so that story, you know, a lot of times doesn't get the same amount of traction. So, once again, we got to check ourselves, and we got to say, hey, no, look, we got to rally and stand and move, you know, for women just as much as it is for a man. We need to demand justice for her, and we need to understand that it's not just, you know, black men who are in danger. It's all of us are who are in danger. And but the arrogance of the police, I mean, the fact that, you know, people are being killed down, you're not even trying to give them first aid. They just don't give a damn about our humanity. And at some point, we have to begin to say, what does a real response look like? Because we marching and they ain't respecting us. We rallying and they ain't respecting us. At some point, you know what I'm saying? You know, But when there was an uprising in Baltimore, we got somebody arrested, right? We got charges put on somebody. When there was an uprising in Oakland, some charges were put on somebody. That's why I did a song called "Do We Need to Start a Riot? Do we need to start tearing some stuff up? Right. Is that what we need to do? Or do we need to say a life for a life? Will that get you to respect us? You know what I'm saying? We're at that point now with the anniversaries of, you know,
Mike Brown.
Not just Mike Brown. You got Eric Garner's anniversary coming up tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, John Crawford, August 5th. Mike Brown, August 9th. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at some point, we really have to ask ourselves, like, how far are we willing to go?
Right.
And that's the point that this movement is at. In the civil rights movement, they were willing to go to a place. You know what I'm saying? And then you had people like the Panthers who would really go even further.
Right.
How far are we willing to go?
Right. Absolutely. Again, that is the voice of Jasiri X, Artivist. He will be here in the Bay Area this Saturday, July 18th, at La Pena Cultural Center, located at 3105 Shattuck Ave in the city of Berkeley, California. This is part of the larger event Beyond Dream, celebrating the cultural richness and diversity that immigrants contribute to our communities, featuring Jasiri X, Rebel Diaz, Paul Flores, and Aisha Fukushima. Again, this is hosted by Raw G and Ken Folks. The panel will be moderated by Hard Knock Radio's Davey D. So with that said, again, I don't think folks want to miss this, right, Jasiri X?
No. And, you know, if you have listened to me, I actually have an album coming out called Black Liberation Theology very soon. Mm. I'm going to be doing some new music. We're going to Rebel Diaz is one of the dopest performers I've ever seen. Aisha is an incredible performer, singer, artist, rapper, everything. You're going to come have some fun, man, and we're going to get socially conscious, but we're going to turn up, too.
All right, again, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Again, Jasiri X here on Hard Knock Radio. I'm Anita Johnson. We'll be right back. Peace.
Let us ha. Hey, ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio. East, west, north, radio, south, man. Conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs. One love, we know where y'all at. Hot, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415's bumping Hard Knock Radio, Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks. Listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard cops. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop. Listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks. Listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard cops. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop. Listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side.
This is Greg Bridges with Hard Knock Radio, and on the line with us today is Bay Area activist of social justice and health, Tony Coleman of Bikes for Life. This weekend, Tony has a special event happening called Bike for Lives Matter Bike Ride. Tell us about that, Tony. First off, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. It's good to hear your voice, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been, brother. But I'm glad to see that every time I look around, when I see or hear your name, there's something positive going on for our community with it. So what's happening this Saturday?
Well, this Saturday we have Bike for Lives Matter bike ride at we're starting at Lake Mary. And we're calling attention to the No Coal Through Oakland movement. And so we're going to be riding, starting our ride around 2 o'clock at the Lake Merritt, the playground area, which is like 468 Perkins,
right,
by the bird sanctuary. And we're going to ride through Oakland, you know, hopefully just raising a lot of attention, man, and just like educating the public about this backroom deal, about this dirty coal coming through our town. And we're going to ride through Oakland, and we're going to end up in West Oakland at our new cafe next to our bike shop on 7th Street for a block party. And it's a collaboration with the West Oakland Indicators Project, who have been doing the long fight for, you know, environmental justice in West Oakland, and we're collaborating together. So that's what's up this Saturday. This Saturday at 2 o'clock, starting at Lake Mary.
Well, tell us about this No Coal movement. I mean, I know out in West Oakland, there have been other movements related to environmental health. What's the No Coal movement?
Man, it's a trip, man, because, you know, these backroom deals is just a trip, man. There's a lot of folks. I mean, a lot of we hear mostly about all the, the poverty crimes, but there's big crimes jumping off on a bigger level that impact a lot more people at a higher rate than anything. And deals like this, for instance, this guy tagging me, you know, he'd been working getting an Oakland Army base. And so the Oakland Army base, they building a terminal over there, right in our backyard over in West Oakland, so that's why we concerned about it. We the stakeholders over here, so we already complaining about just the shipping and all the different things that's coming through our neighborhood, and yet again, something else is threatening to come through. Well, anyway, this the Oakland Army base is set to be open pretty soon. It's going to have an oversized terminal. And this guy, Bill Tagany, has been working on, well, he's already secured himself to be a part of that. I think he's already set up a backroom deal to get coal coming through that port. And the coal is coming from Utah. And they want to pay Oakland to like, you know, deal with their dirty coal. And we like, that ain't cool. We don't, and you know, well, you talking about we going to get money for it. Well, no, we don't need that money. You know, because we've been complaining about and trying to work on getting our, you know, just environmental justice here in this neighborhood for so long. It's been neglected, and for so long it's been just the toxic dumping grounds for all these big polluters that are making major money off, and not even protecting our health at all. And so that's what the deal is. Basically, Phil Tagney set up his backroom deal for this dirty coal to come through this port, this new terminal at the Oakland Army base. And they didn't have no kind of like voices from the community to be able to say anything. He basically felt like, you know, he'd been doing this for 7 years, securing approvals and like environmental entitlements for the Oakland Army base. So that allows him to lease space to a private company. And so that's why he didn't feel like, wait a minute, you know, I could do this. This is what I could do is within my
right. Right.
But it's threatening our welfare and our health. And we just standing up. And so this is one way that we can, make noise about it and to at least let the public know what's going on, because it's expected to come through as soon as summer 2017. So summer of 2017. That's around the corner, you know what I mean, for all this dirty coal to be coming through there. And dude, you know, it like broke off like $53 million or something to make for this deal.
Well, in May, protesters came together, rallied, and dumped coal right in front of Phil Tagami's offices. What was the reaction? Was there any reaction from him to that apparently he really hasn't opened his eyes to what's going on. But what was his reaction to that?
Well, I mean, he hasn't made it public, whatever it was. I don't know what on the inside, if there's any intel. Maybe some of the listeners would know, but I don't know offhand to be able to speak on that, what was his reaction. You know, they try to, you know, just ignore a lot of this stuff and thinking we're just going to go away, but that's not going to happen.
Right. So this is another act of environmental injustice that's happening in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, and it's very blatant because, you know, for you know how we've been for a while, not just us, especially us as far as West Oakland has been talking about,
right.
You know, this kind of like this health, and we're the largest ones as far as the West Oakland residents has been dealing with public health issues around asthma and all that, right? We have the most highest rate than anywhere else in California. But even set aside from that, California has kind of like been like the green state. You know, it's kind of like been trying to lead the way as far as, you know, protecting the environment, as far as what they call it, the layer zones and all that. And, you know, just they've been trying to lead the way on green stuff. So here this guy is like, never mind all that, you know. You setting us back, you know, 20, 30 years just with the coal, because the coal companies, they have no intention on stopping, even though everybody else across the country is moving away from that. Moving away from that as something that we use and going towards more greener and healthier stuff. And this is kind of like trying to like set us back. He's like, you know, never mind all that. Never mind y'all trying to lead the way in this other direction. Is more positive. We're going to set y'all back because I'm going to make some money off of it.
Right. And it seems that even some of our own city politicians are against this. You have council members like Rebecca Kaplan, Dan Kolb, who are looking for ways to stop this plan. But it seems like this Phil Tagami is just kind of ignoring word that's coming from them.
Man, ain't that something? Even so, all the board of supervisors have been basically against it. Even the port, you know, the port commissioners have already taken stance against this. So, I mean, it's not, people don't want it. And even people have raised their voices, even on the, on the political side of things, and had said no. And this guy is still like, you know, never mind that. We're going to do this. And it's a trip how some people can have, when you talk about, you know, who run Oakland and who out here, you know, putting their hustle down, you know, folks automatically think about drug dealers and stuff like that. But there's some big hustlers putting it down on a major level and won't spend one day in jail.
Right.
And they affect a lot more people across the board than anything. And it's just so unfair how that is. You know what I mean? It just trips me out how you got some and don't have no shame about it. Like, you know what I mean? Just be holding on their sack. Just like, yeah, I'm doing this. Like, you know, I'm getting my money.
Right,
you know,
right.
Regardless of like, you know, how I got to get it, I'm gonna get it. But then when you look at the youngsters or look at the people that's dealing on the poverty level, I mean, they always, you know, demonized to a high degree and get so much time. And they don't even realize how powerless and how such a little reward that is for going down that road when these people out here doing these big major crimes and getting away with major stuff that's affecting a lot more people on a higher level. And that messes me up every time I see that, because this guy, Phil Tagamu, he's the biggest hustler in Oakland. He's not afraid of the... You know, the politicians that's in place that's supposed to be there, our government, to protect us. He's like, you know, standing up against them and doing his thing. And it seems like he has no fear about that. And he's moving forward.
And no fear and no regard. That's the voice of our guest on Hard Knock today, Tony Coleman. Tony of Bikes for Life has a special event happening this Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. called Bike for Lives Matter. And it's the Bike for Lives Matter bike ride, and this is to promote the no coal movement through Oakland. Tony, how else can people find information on this, and what kind of actions do you suggest they could take, especially since it appears that Phil Tagami isn't even listening to what our city politicians are saying against this?
Well, we're going to stay strong. I mean, this Saturday, folks, hopefully folks can come down, check us out, because even if they don't ride the bike ride, they can come to the, you know, the reception after party, which would be at 3, and connect with other folks who's working on this issue. The West Oakland Indicators Project have been one of the leaders in that fight. And so come down, connect with people, get some information. This is only the beginning. We're going to keep fighting. And if you think we're going to lay down, he has another thing coming, you know. And it's like, we just going to stand strong around all these things. So anything to come down the pipe that's not good for Oakland, we're going to stand up and fight against it. And we win. We win out here by unity, by coming together, by how we're all united. It's just a different kind of, thing. And so I feel real confident by us all coming together, and especially since now that we're not only just fighting, that we have some allies even in the political area, that we should be able to beat this back.
And again, that's the Bike for Lives Matter bike ride that happens this Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. It starts at Lake Merritt, right at 468 Perkins over by the Bird Sanctuary, and ends at Rev Cafe, that's 1612 7th Street, right over by Bikes for Life.
Bikes for Life, yeah. And I like to say that we have taken over the Rev Cafe. We're calling it 7th Street Cafe now. And we also have the field next door to it, calling it Pullman Quarters Park. We're going to be opening it up. So it's a new venture for us as far as having a cafe. Come on down, check us out. We definitely feel very happy and excited about having this new venture, and we're going to be able to give more jobs to some of our young folks and people in the neighborhood. So come on down, check us out this Saturday, July 18th. If y'all need to reach me and just get more information, it's 510-444-7746. 444-7746. And y'all can holler at me right there.
All right, Tony, man. Thanks for the work that you continue doing out in the community. And looking forward to seeing you soon, brother.
All power to the people.
All power to the people. This is Greg Bridges with Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
button away from World War III. Being called a minority and being pulled, always being pulled over, subject to brutality. Why is every street like a living hell? Probably because they all just want us to fail. And three strikes of trolling pack the jail, like the slave ships when they sail. But they don't know.
Conectados, every set, every hood, barrio to barrio, y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs, one love, we know where y'all at, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, rah, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side.
The truth is, the system ruthless, keeping orphans shoeless, and my grandma toothless. Hard knocking Brown Buffalo, we chopping our nooses. See, wailing in the streets, and we throw up deuces. Les mandamos saludos a los obreros del mundo. Zapatistas, raptivistas, 94.1. Anita DVD, wailing Mike Diggs. Hard knocking Buffaloes, we love the kids. Try to take our voice and we made hip hop. Rhythm and blues, news that's fresh off the block. Trapped between the mainstream and the hard rock. Buffalo reporting live from the school of hard knocks. Hard Knock Radio, KPFA, Divine Forces Radio, KPFK. An ear to the streets from the Bay to LA. Poor people del mundo, our battle's the same, yeah.
Learning from these hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side.
Is you ready for that hard knock? Like the reappearance, Brown Buffalo, the monkey wrench, we running interference. So get yourself tuned in, for no matter what we doing, it's the soundtrack to the movement. Knowing that a revolution ain't nothing without the music. My Buffalo went hard now, know we had to do this. And yes, we keep it moving like a black 2 inches from the ground. Bumping Hard Knock Radio, repping from the town. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knock, questioning the court cops. And city officials talking about dismissal with young brand intelligence. Taking on the issues.
Let I hate, I hate.
Learning from these hard knocks, living for this.
that's hip hop. Listening to Hard Knocks, rapping to the hard side. Learning from the Hard Knocks, living in these Hard Knocks. Listening to Hard Knocks, questioning the park high. Learning through these Hard Knocks, living for this hip hop. Listening to Hard Knocks, rapping to the hard side.
Antonin Scalia, 1936-2016. Justice Antonin Scalia of the U.S. Supreme Court, famous for his quips and his judicial opinions, is no more. The Associate Justice, appointed to the court by President Reagan in 1986, was coming up on his 30th year this September on the bench. He was a controversial figure and arguably the most intellectually gifted of his colleagues. But it must be said that his brilliance was not at the service of the many, but the few. Law professor Cass Sunstein, in his 2005 book, Radicals in Robes, criticized both Scalia and perhaps his closest colleague, Justice Clarence Thomas, for their original intent theories. Generally, the theory holds that anything not explicitly originally written in the Constitution was not legitimate law. Sunstein called both jurists false fundamentalists, especially for their opposition to affirmative action, on the theory that government could never take race into account. Sunstein argued, wasn't the 13th Amendment explicitly about race? Wasn't the Civil War? And didn't the Reconstruction Congress create institutions specifically for black ex-slaves like the Freedmen's Bureau, a financial institution? To ignore such history, he said, was disingenuous. Writer and scholar Chris Hedges, in his 2006 book, American Fascists, identifies Scalia as a dominionist jurist, or one who used his religious views, not his legal ones, to decide cases. Scalia may have lost his greatest ally in the 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, when he critiqued Sandra Day O'Connor's decision to uphold abortions. O'Connor, a stickler for decorum, didn't take kindly to his attack and thereafter moved perceptibly to the left, often becoming the fifth vote for a liberal majority, especially on criminal justice and women's issues. Scalia, brilliant, opinionated, outspoken, and in your face, was never boring. He knew where he stood and planted his flag there for arch-conservatism. Antonin Nino Scalia was in his 79th year of life from Imprisoned Nation. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
You were just tuned in to Hard Knock Radio, a rebroadcast. Stay tuned for Ear to the Streets coming up next. And you are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K220HR Hood River, K282BH Philomath, and you can always catch KBOO online at www.kboo.fm, or you can download the KBOO app to listen to all things KBOO live on your Android or iPhone.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 39th Annual Portland International Film Festival hosted by the Northwest Film Center. 97 feature films and 62 short films from all over the world will be playing through February 27th, all over Portland. There are also special focus programs, including Global Classroom, a Made in Oregon shorts program, PIFF After Dark, again. That's the 39th Annual Portland International Film Festival, screening films at multiple locations throughout Portland until February 27th. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On February 20th, from 7 p.m.